سد على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه بقدر حسنه وكماله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا فمن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين. صدق الله العظيم.
Most respected brothers and sisters who are at the madrasa, when we are going for Hajj, as you have heard in the virtues talks which are given on virtues of Hajj, that the most important thing is our niyat. With what niyat are we undertaking this Hajj? Our niyat must be nothing else except the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We should have no other intention. I mentioned in my Jummah talk that there is nothing wrong with doing import-export business with Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, Saudi Arabia. There is nothing wrong. You can buy goods from there, sell goods to those merchants there. There is nothing wrong. You can go 10 times a year to buy goods and supply goods, no problem. But don't say that I'm going for Hajj. When a person says I'm going for Hajj, then it must be Hajj. Then the niyat, the predominant intention, must be Hajj and nothing else. By the way, if he bought something and sold it, it's a different story. But his niyat must be nothing but Hajj. And those other trips which he is making, if somebody asks him, why are you going to Makkah Sharif, he must say clearly, I'm going for business purposes. Then there's no harm. If he is going for business, there's no harm. But it would be a very sad thing in the life of a person that he is going to such a Mubarak place and he's got no other intention except business. But it is permissible. But don't link the business with Hajj, business with Umrah. Business is something else, Umrah and Hajj is something else. So those on whom Hajj is farz, then there's no question of niyat being business or tourism. Niyat must be nothing but Hajj, the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So this journey that the person takes must be solely to please our Creator and to find our Rabb, to find our Khaliq, to find our Malik, to find our Beloved. One Buzruk was going past and he met one person and he asked him, where are you going? He said, I'm going for Hajj. It was a Nafil Hajj that this person was going for. He said, I'm going for a Nafil Hajj. So he asked him, he said, have you recognized Allah? He said, no, I haven't recognized Allah. He said, well, first learn how to recognize Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then go for Hajj and see what is the difference. So he took him with him, he spent 1 year with him, and when he purified his nafs, his soul, then he told him, now you go and make Hajj and come. When he went this time, he said, I could see the anwar of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala on the holy Kaaba Sharif. So we go and come, but we see nothing. We only see the walls of the Kaaba Sharif and come back. What is the reason? That we haven't purified our nafs, our soul. We haven't undergone any exercise for purification of this soul. Therefore, all we see are the walls of the Kaaba Sharif. So when we are going, our niyat must be nothing but to recognize our Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, to make Hajj, to gain His blessings, to gain forgiveness for ourselves, to gain forgiveness for our families and for our people and for our society and for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because the Hajis are deputations of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. I have mentioned this in some other Hajj talk also, that when a deputation goes anywhere representing a country, then what is the duty of that deputation? If that deputation was sent to go and negotiate something, now that deputation that went, instead of negotiating what they had gone for, they started looking at the beautiful sea and the ocean and the scenery and spending their time in the 5-star hotels and enjoying luxury meals and all the rest of it. And when that meeting was over, then they realized that it is too late. We had come for the purpose, but the meeting is over. The negotiation that we had come for, the time is already passed. Then what will that country do, or what will the president of that country or that department which had sent them do. They will say that you are not worthy of this job, and they will take away whatever authority they had given them. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says the Hujjaj, they are deputation. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says they are deputations to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Why do they go there? To seek forgiveness from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for themselves and for the Ummah. Now if they go there and they waste their time in other things except that for which they had gone there, then they are great losers and they have not gained anything. So may Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us the realization that this Hajj is not a trip just to see what Makkah Sharif looks like. When we are going for Hajj, this is the most important thing, that our niyat must be correct. The funds with which we undertake Hajj, it is extremely important that there must be nothing but halal. Those who are dealing in nothing but halal, but here and there they have some doubt that some money may have come through which is not halal, not totally haram money, but there is some doubt that some part of the money they don't have a clear mind with regards to that, then it is recommended that they should take a loan from some friend, and that loan that they take, with that money they buy tickets, they pay for their Hajj, and the money that they have, they pay it, they pay back that loan. So that will make it clean and it will be halal. But I have explained this on many occasions, that this does not mean that you go and take all gambling money, interest money, and then take a loan and say, now I've got a machine which can convert haram to halal. Maulana has showed us a beautiful way, making haram halal. So this is not haram halal business. This is where you have a mild doubt, a slight doubt. As I give the example that sometimes in the balance sheets they credit some interest and we fail to pick it up, and that money comes away with our halal monies. So to clean that out, we say take a loan and buy your tickets. Whilst on the ticket business, one masla that always comes up is that, is it necessary to make the wife the owner of that money, or that child that you are taking along the owner of that money, the malik, the owner, the possessor? Yes, it is. If you don't, then it will be a nafil hajj for that person. Like if I keep the money in my pocket, I bought the ticket, and I take my wife along who does not have the money to go for hajj, then her hajj will be nafil hajj. If I take my child along, the hajj of that child is going to be nafil. But if I buy the ticket and I say, there's a ticket that I'm giving to you as a gift, and thereafter an amount which is sufficient to undertake the trip to Makkah Sharif and back, or the days of Hajj, if I give that much, then Hajj has now become farz on her. So if she goes now and makes that Hajj, it will be a farz Hajj. If not, then this Hajj will be nafil, and whenever she becomes rich, then she will have to make farz Hajj again. Therefore it is recommended that we should make them the owners of the ticket and say, this ticket is yours, and this much money which is required for the Hajj trip, I'm giving it to you. And once you say, I'm giving it to you, now it belongs to that person. It must not be just technical, because we always talk about technical. This must be, doesn't be technical. It must be genuinely given, which now means that in the event of that person not going for Hajj, say he cancelled the trip. So now you can't say, bring that ticket back. Bring that money back which I gave you. Because that money is already given as a gift, that ticket has been given as a gift. So if there's a refund now on the ticket, or if that money was given as a gift, then all that now belongs to that child or to that wife to whom you have given it as a gift. Then that is genuine giving. But if it is just formalities, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala knows what is in the heart. The Bani Israel, they played monkey tricks with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. What did they do? Allah Ta'ala told them, don't fish on Saturdays. So they put the nets on Friday nights. When the fish came in, they pulled it on Sunday morning, and they said, no, we didn't fish on Saturday. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the Quran tells us, He turned them into monkeys. So we mustn't play tricks with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He knows what's in our hearts. So this money that we use must be halal money. Because if we are going to go with haram money, then that Hajj is not going to be accepted. It is going to be thrown back at us. The angels are going to say, La labbaik wa la sa'daik. So why should we go all the way there and then return with curses of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and of the angels, instead of getting the blessings of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and the angels? So we should make sure that our money is halal. Allah Ta'ala is not going to accept haram monies. Those who go with haram monies, you will find their stones still lying there by the Jamarat. When we throw those pebbles there, those whose Hajj is accepted, those stones go away. The angels carry it away. That is a miracle which is a living miracle. That so many million people are throwing stones, there should have been mountains there over the 3 days. In the time of the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Alayhim Ajmain, according to one riwayat that I was reading, they used to hardly see any stones there. 124,000 people have stoned, 7 pebbles on the first day and 21 each on 3 days after that. And there was nothing there, hardly anything. So therefore the Sahabas questioned Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where are the stones gone? Because nobody came and took it away from here. There was no Durban Corporation truck coming and picking up all the stones there. So where did the trucks go? Where did the stones go? Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, those whose Hajj is accepted, Allah Ta'ala causes the angels to pick up their pebbles. So if we want our pebbles to be picked up and be accepted by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then we must go with nothing but halal money. If we have cheated somebody, if we have committed fraud, if we have got interest money, gambling money, then that kind of money Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala doesn't accept for Hajj. So if our niyat is right, our earnings are halal, now we will get down quickly to Hajj itself. And definitely, we are not going to be able to finish it tonight. Inshallah, we'll continue tomorrow night. So this money that the person has got, if it is halal, now he has made the niyat of Hajj, and he's going for no other purpose, for the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then he must seek forgiveness from those people whom he has harmed, troubled. And if he is owing people monies, then he must make sure that he clears that out with them. Because there are two kinds of loans and debts. One is that debt which a person has incurred, and the payment are in installments. The payment is in installments. There is an agreement that you can pay me over 12 months, 16 months or 24 months, as long as there is no interest involved there. But the other loan is where a person gives a person a loan, and he says that as soon as you get your money, please make sure that you pay me back. So that person who has been promised that as soon as I get my money, I'm going to pay you, then it is compulsory, it's wajib, that when you get the money, then you pay that person first. After that you go for Hajj, which is nafil or even farz Hajj. Make sure that you pay that person. But if that person agrees and says, well, I'm prepared to give you terms, when you come back you can pay me, then there is no harm. So to go out in the path of Allah, this is Hajj is also path of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, whilst we are owing people money and they are chasing after us, it is not permissible. We must make sure that we pay them first. So this is another important thing. Then those with whom we have contacts and we have said something which may have hurt their feelings or offended them, or we have taken something which was not rightfully due to us from inheritance and other things, then make sure that all that is cleared. Go with a clean sheet, go with a clean heart and clean earnings, and go with this niyat that I want to face my Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and I want to visit His house in such a condition that there is nobody that is cursing me, there is nobody that is waiting for me to pay him what I am owing him, and there is nobody that is chasing after me. And people whom I have harmed and offended, I have sought forgiveness from them. If the person goes like that for Hajj, inshallah ta'ala, his Hajj will definitely give him ruhaniyat. There will be noor in his Hajj. That is before he goes. Now that he has intended Hajj, I want to get down to the masail. Now that the person is preparing for Hajj, generally South Africans make tamattu Hajj. So I'm not going to deal with ifrad and qiran, because 99.9% of South Africans, they do tamattu Hajj. And tamattu Hajj is this, that you make umrah and Hajj in two different ihrams. Ifrad is where you make just Hajj, one ihram, and qiran is where you make Hajj and umrah in one ihram. But we generally make tamattu, meaning that we go in an ihram, after we have made umrah, then we take off our ihram, and then we wait for the 8th of Zilhijjah, and then we put on our ihram again. So that is tamattu Hajj. So we will deal with tamattu Hajj, which involves two things. One is umrah and the other is Hajj. So this is now a preparation for the Hajj, it's for the Umrah that you are going to make, because first is Umrah, then Hajj. So what we are really going to be preparing now for is our Umrah. We make a lot of preparations. And what are those preparations? That we must buy good bags, because they slip the bags. Those days when we were going via Nairobi, they say they slip the bags. If they are of weak quality, they must have good bags. We must make sure our passport has got visas. We must make sure that we have got sufficient funds and currency. Now all these preparations are necessary. But the most important thing is the preparation for that Hajj itself. That mentally we must prepare ourselves. Every day that goes by before you are departing, you must be mentally preparing yourself for that Hajj. That soon I will be in front of the house of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, inshallah. Soon I will be going round and round the Kaaba Sharif. I will be going between Safa and Marwa. Inshallah, a day is soon going to come in my life when I will be standing amongst the millions of people, all wearing the same kind of ihram, and everybody is crying and everybody has got his hands raised. I will be there in the plains of Arafat. You must mentally go through that Hajj, condition yourself, and prepare yourself for the worst. Prepare yourself mentally for the worst. It is not necessary that you will go through hardships and difficulties and problems, but mentally you must be prepared that come what may, I am not going to complain that I am tired, this journey has become very difficult and it is becoming very hard and I am facing a lot of difficulties. I am not going to complain about anything. Yes, it is extremely important that before you leave, take some advice from those who have been for Hajj and those who have been there many times, that which is a good agent to go through, which is a good place to stay, which is the best way to get there. Those kind of advices to take from those people that have been there, there's nothing wrong with that. That means do that which has to be done. You must make tadbir. Don't purposely go through hardship and difficulties. Purposely don't go through an agent that you know has been committing fraud over the years and giving people hard time and difficult time there and not fulfilling his promises there. So purposely you don't have to go there. Choose, go through the right agent, seek the advice of people who have been there and try to avoid those who are corrupt and unscrupulous. After you have done what you should have done, what preparation you could have made, you have made. Then you must be mentally prepared to still go through any difficulty that will come. Because it is not necessary that if you have the best agent and plenty of money with you and you have everything well organized from here, after that there's going to be no problem there. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala tests the Hujjaj, because there's no other test left for us. In those days we used to go through the jungles and through the mountains and over, and through the deserts and all those kind of things, and before they arrived there they used to be nice and exhausted and they used to be sick and tired. So those people used to be really blessed by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and they were tested throughout the journey. Now there's no test for us. We just sit here a couple hours time, we land there. What is the test? So we will get a little bit of test in the customs there or at the arrival there. Sometimes 4 hours, 5 hours, 8 hours, 10 hours we have to sit. Now just for that sitting, we make it such an issue. There is no doubt that it's a weakness of those people on that side, that they don't know how to organize the department well. But that is their side of the problem. But as far as we are concerned, we are going for Hajj. We are going for Umrah. We are going to visit our beloved house, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's house. Then we should be prepared to take any difficulty that comes. As I always say, that beautiful couplet which the poet said on the journey of Hajj. He said, this is a journey of ishq and love of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And in this journey of ishq and love of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, you should not be complaining about anything. Because what kind of a lover is that who says that I found it very difficult to reach you? What kind of a lover is that? If the beloved says that I'm staying here 500 miles away, and I want you to arrive tonight, and the so-called lover says that no, it's very difficult to reach you, then the person will say that what kind of a beloved you are. Say a person was walking and his eyes fell on one woman. which is haram, to gaze for the second time. Accidental first gaze is permissible, second gaze is haram. But his eyes fell on a woman. So he told her, he said, I dearly love you. So she told him, she said, if you have fallen for my beauty, my sister is coming at the back. So this person turned his face like that. So she gave him one tight slap. He said, you said you dearly love me. Is this your love that I told you my sister is at the back? You start looking back. So what kind of a person is that who says, I love Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, but he's got his love for everything else except Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So on this journey of Hajj, they will be tested.